Hey everybody. What the hell day is it? It's
It's
Monday.
Monday, yeah. It's weird. It
It
kind of felt like Tuesday for a second.
did actually. That's why I was confused for a moment, but I was like, "Oh no, I put that I took out the garbage this morning, so it must be Monday."
Got the new shirt in there developing right now, or the what do you call it? The
One of the
screen
screens.
for it.
Hopefully it comes out this time. I
Yeah,
mean,
last
we'll
time
see.
I had timing problems. It's a new solution that I'm using.
Yeah, it's like I ordered the same shit. I just ordered like a big one,
Yeah.
but it's a different color than the
Yeah.
last stuff, even though it's said it was the same stuff that I
It
bought last time.
didn't come with the exact same didn't come with any instructions on development time. So I thought it'd be the same. But I'm using an LED light bulb, which that's might be a problem too, because it's very white. It's not a scattered yellowish light, you know.
Yeah.
And it's unsure of the wattage.
So we just it's kind of like trial and error
It's
every
trial
time
and
we
error.
get a new thing to see like how long to like expose it for. Fourth Row Down asks, does the Andromeda strain have grits in
No, but
it?
it should. There was a couple of times where they showed some open refrigerators, and I didn't see any grits. Yeah, you're
Grits wouldn't
right.
be in the refrigerator, they would be in the
They'd be
pantry.
in a pantry. Yeah.
They could have
Well,
shown
you're not
somebody.
really supposed to. You're not really supposed to reheat used grits.
No, they're not good.
They when they
You kind of got
cool.
to eat them like right when they get cooked.
When they cool, they kind of set up like concrete.
Yeah, and you
You.
can't really rescue them. I mean, you
You
can,
kind
but.
you can kind of you add a bunch of water to it and break them up and heat them back up again, cook the water back out of them, but they're only a couple cents a cup, you know. Why are you doing that? You know, grits are cheap.
It is very easy to distract you, isn't
Yeah,
it? That's all we have to do is
I'm
start
gonna
talking
put
about
grits in
grits.
a damn survival bin. I need some excess grits.
Yeah, we need extra
I
grits.
want
Everybody
grits
needs
and grits in a number 10 can, indestructible.
grits on top of grits.
Yeah.
Grits in
Grits
your grits.
fresh off the grit tree with grit gravy and grit juice sprinkled with grits.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, do you want to talk about the Andromeda strain?
Yeah.
So I think what okay, so what happened with this one was that as you sometimes happens in the Patreon poll, like for the movie retrospective that everyone was voting on, there was a tie between the Andromeda Strain and When a Stranger Calls. So I just decided, well, we'll do When a Stranger Calls for the retrospective, so we recorded that, and then we'll just do Andromeda Strain as a live stream because I could have fucking sworn that we had already done the Andromeda Strain because I know we watched it not too long ago,
Yeah.
and I thought that we watched it to review it.
Guess
But
we
when
never
I
got
did a
around to it.
search through the channel, I was like, I could,
Wasn't there.
it wasn't there. So.
Andromeda Skirt Strain is a very realistic movie. I saw it when I was a kid. It kind of freaked me out. Even though at the time I was probably only about 8 or 9, I couldn't grasp everything that happened in it. I just knew it was scary. And it was realistic. It's kind of like on the level of 2001, A Space Odyssey, where you're dealing with a lot of kind of dry military and intelligence kind of guys, and in a big emergency that's happening. It's a bio warfare event, and they get together a bunch of scientists to try to figure out what the hell kind of fucking bioweapon this is, and how are they going to solve it. Starts out with the whole town out in the middle of the Southwest get wiped out. Went to the Southwest, out of the
Yeah, it
desert.
was Piedmont, New Mexico, was the
Yeah.
name of the town, although they actually shot it in a little town in
You
Texas.
find all these guys go in there in bio suits and find all these civilians just dead in their tracks, you know. Some of them they found out later looked like they killed themselves, went crazy and killed themselves. And there's two of them still alive, an old man and a little baby. And that's. They have to go to this ultra secret underground
Facility.
bio defense facility. It's like a laboratory to try to figure out what the hell kind of fucking biological agent this is and how it got there. And I don't know if we're ready to spoil it all of it, but
Well, it's an old movie. And I mean,
yeah.
the book, which is by Michael Crichton, came out in 1969, and the movie came out in 1971.
Yeah,
So,
Crichton does a lot of cool shit. We've covered a lot of his movies.
yeah, I mean,
Crichton,
probably
yeah.
most famous for Jurassic Park, but you
Yeah.
know, he did a fuck ton of other ones. They
Yeah.
and they've adapted pretty much every one of that fucker's novels. This was kind of like one of his early ones. The interesting thing about this, I mean, because he's a medical doctor, or he was at least a med student, or he went through med school or whatever, and he's really, really, really into science and scientific accuracy, and particularly he was back then. And I think that he got the idea for the novel The Andromeda Strain from when they were talking about crystal-based life forms, you know what I mean? Which kind of plays a big part in this. And the interesting thing about the novel, I've never read it, but I was like watching a couple of other things that talked about the book in particular. And it's almost kind of like, it's kind of like the book equivalent of like found footage. Yeah. He wanted it to be as realistic as possible, up to and including even putting a fake bibliography in there.
Yeah.
Like it has a fake bibliography. This was supposed to be a book that was talking about something that really happened. And he had charts in there. Like I said, he had a bibliography in there that was all fake, but sounded plausible and all this other kind of shit because he wanted it to be as realistic as possible. So this is kind of like, the book and the movie are very much what I would call like hard sci-fi. This isn't one of those, oh, you know, Martians come to Earth and are blowing everyone up. This is very much like this weird thing is happening and now all these scientists are going to go through all of this rigmarole and experimentation to find out what's going on.
It shows it's very procedural.
Yeah.
And the procedures are very accurate with the intel community and fucking scientific community, how they get merged up with the military and contractors, agents that contract shit out, like how to build a secret facility. It's all in there. Now, spoiler alert, you find out pretty early, I guess it's kind of about halfway through it, you find out that this thing is extraterrestrial. They hint at it. Because the, but this pathogen is crystalline and it comes from space.
Yeah, it was on like a, a satellite that crashed or something like that. And that's it. Well, because that's kind of what happens at the beginning. Like this satellite crashes and these guys go to retrieve it because this satellite crashed in this little bitty town and all these people drop dead and they couldn't figure out why. So then the two guys go to retrieve the satellite, but then they die. And then I think we lost the stream. Maybe.
No,
oh, no.
So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know I was worried about it because my chat like stopped a long time ago. Okay. So, you know, so I don't know if it's going to...
It hiccuped a little bit.
Okay. It's weird because we haven't really been having much problem with it lately.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, we went on for 6 hours Friday night and didn't lose it one single time.
One of the weird things about this crystalline pathogen is that it gets in there and fucks up your hemoglobin and turns your blood into a solid dust.
Yeah, it turns into, like, blood powder. It
turns into powder. That's how it kills you. And, yeah, it's pretty neat.
I mean, the thing about this movie is that I kind of feel like this is one of those ones you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
It's, as I said, it's very hard sci-fi, so it's not like super action-packed or anything. It's very much...
It's
very grounded and very science-driven. It's not even really, it's not even really character-driven, honestly. It's more like plot-driven. And you're just trying to... like, these scientists are in this underground facility and you're seeing them go through all of the shit that they have to go through to figure out what the nature of this pathogen is, you know, how can we stop it? Because is it going to like kill all of these people? You know, and various other things. So there is kind of like suspense. There is kind of shit like that.
It's still going.
Okay. Yeah. Just like, let me know if it stops. Cause my shit stopped. But, you know, so it's very much like that. So I can see how, if you're not really into that kind of thing, that people might think maybe it was kind of like quote unquote boring or slow, but I don't know. I thought it was like really cool because it's like a science mystery. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it also, to me, what was so what I liked about it is it shows how procedural military and government type operations are, even if it, especially if it involves things like bio warfare, and, you know, weapons of mass destruction. Very, very structured. There's a whole system of safety imposed on everything and security. It's secrecy. It gets into all that.
Yeah. So like I said, it's really interesting. And in a way, it's like, it's really pro science because it's showing you, I don't want to say it's like, it's showing you like the drudgery of science, but basically it's showing you, this is how you have to figure shit out. It's like, it takes forever. It's not fun necessarily, but it's just kind of like, we have to eliminate this. We have to eliminate this. We have to eliminate this because they don't know what this thing is. And they think it potentially could be dangerous. And they're trying to prevent it from getting out. So they're kind of just going through all of these procedures to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. That kind of shit didn't impress me as much because I kind of take that for granted that that's what you need to do. I liked all the supporting stuff. Like all the money that they had to spend to hide the fact that they built a facility. They get into that.
Yeah.
Because to build a facility leaves residue behind, tire tracks and, you know, debris. Then you have to spend money to erase the fact that anything was ever built in this location. There's right. no roads going out to it. Shit. Anything that could be seen on a satellite all has to be erased. And then when you get there, it does not look like a facility. It just looks like a damn sheriff's office.
Yeah, it was like, it was for the Department of Agriculture, yeah. and they had like grown all this barley out there to make it look like.
It's got a total cover story. And when you go in there, you can't go, hey, I'm here because the secret mission has activated. You go in there and they got old fucking Andy Taylor sitting there. Hey, how y'all doing? You know, reading the newspaper. And you got to have a specific conversation with him that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, all right. And then he presses a fucking button and there's the elevator that goes down.
It goes down to the secret
facility. To the secret fucking facility. And then the shit, that's actually the way they do a lot of that shit. Okay. And then the dudes that work at those kind of places are not being paid in the way that you would think that there's like, there's no pay stubs. There's no record of these guys ever fucking being employed. That's when you know you're fucking deep.
Well, yeah,
deep undercover.
Because all the scientists and doctors that they call, like the team that they call, like for whatever specific reasons, these are people that have been briefed on this secret facility, which is called Wildfire. You know, or I guess that's the name of the project and also the facility.
They don't know where it is or anything about it.
They don't know anything about it. Like, they just know that at any time, if something happens, then they can be activated.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, the first part of the movie is just these random scientists and doctors, like the military showing up and being like,
there's a fire.
Wildfire. Yeah. And they're just kind of like, oh, well, shit.
No, they said there was a fire.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, I can't go right now because there's a fire. Remember that? And then the wife wouldn't let him in. And
fucking, we're having a party, goddamn.
Yeah, and they fucking got guns and shit. And they're like, look, you know, he goes, we have to see your husband and we're going to come in.
Yeah.
If you don't bring him, we're gonna come in. So there's no choice. Yeah. They signed all these agreements and stuff and you can't back out of it. They can use force to get your ass. The only way out of it is if you were sick.
Yeah, because one of the guys actually they did kind of mention offhand.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this, so Michael Crichton, this wasn't his first book. I think he'd written a couple before this one, but so he was like a pretty well known name, and like all his shit was, you know, was getting adapted to movies like pretty consistently. Now a lot of times they would let him adapt his own books, but in this case, this was actually directed by Robert Wise. Who, fun fact, he directed a West Side Story and The Sound of Music and a bunch of other things too, but he also directed one of my very favorite horror movies of all time, which was The Haunting. And he didn't really want Michael Crichton to, not in a shitty, asshole-y kind of way, but he's like, well, I kind of feel like when authors adapt their own stuff, oh my God, we just jumped right to Sexual Tyrannosaur?
There's a certain protocol that
okay.
A certain protocol initiated.
Sexual Tyrannosaur has been activated.
We'll see.
We'll see if that's been activated.
There might be a fire. Smell smoke.
All right, I like that. I like how that kind of ties in with the whole theme here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was like, well, I find that when authors adapt their own material, like a lot of times they're really resistant to any changes you want to make and stuff. So Robert Wise actually got Nelson Gidding, who he'd worked with before and who also wrote the screenplay for The Haunting, which obviously was an adaptation of the Shirley Jackson novel. And he got him to do the adaptation. Ironically, this movie is almost exactly like the book. It is even down to, because the book was so found footagey, like it was supposed to be like a real document, you know, oh, this is like declassified shit and here's like all the documents and everything. So they decided to do it like a documentary style. You know what I mean? So it does kind of have a little bit of that. Like I said, it does have a Kubrickian kind of shit going on too.
But it's split screen stuff.
Yeah, but it's, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of like the way they employed that.
Yeah, there's one scene where they're going, they're checking out fucking Ground Zero, where the pathogen broke loose first. And they show in one screen, they show them opening doors, looking into the apartments, and then they show in another screen what the dudes saw, and they're like dead dudes, dead little kids, people dead in front of the refrigerator. Just, you know, it's kind of cool how they did that, and they had kind of like, didn't they have like fucking Marshall music and shit with fucking snare drum?
Oh yeah, maybe now that I'm thinking about it.
While they were showing all that, it was kind of creepy.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have that.
Because they were on a mission, they were just fucking, and they're like real cold and calculated, just surveying who died.
Yeah.
And they're going, look at that. Wow. You know.
Yep. Dead people. Because
it's just their job, you know.
All right. We're back again. Yeah. Our fucking shit crashed.
We have no idea what the fuck it was. It just froze.
Yeah. I mean, you know. It was that sexual tyrannosaur hat. That's it was the sexual tyrannosaur energy.
It was all the shit we were talking about, all these fucking clandestine operations and all these fucking hats where we said the wrong things and the algorithm just went, oh, fuck no.
Maybe it's because you said that girl was an A cup and someone got offended.
Yeah, that's what it is. That girl's an A cup. And then boom, that's it. No more.
Maybe that girl made it stop. Yeah, maybe. She was like, my boobs aren't small. Shut up. I have nice boobs.
No, she was cute, though.
Yeah, she was cute. She had nice boobs. She was, yeah. You know, for a dead person.
Yeah.
For nice makeup. Boobs for a dead person.
For an A cup.
She wasn't really a dead person, you two.
She pretended to be dead.
She pretended to be a dead person. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
If they fucking cut the stream because of that joke, then these motherfuckers.
I just thought that was funny because I think that was like the last thing that you said before it crashed.
Probably.
Or, you know what I mean? So,
you know, boobs are going to show up. I think the AI is listening to me, though. They're like, this motherfucker starts talking about breasts. We're going to have to fucking cut it. This is family hours. We're near the family. The internet does not have family viewing hours.
Well, nothing has family.
The entire globe
hours,
is 24/7. You don't, you know.
Yeah, like I said.
It's midnight somewhere on this globe. It is, yeah. So, you know.
But I think what I was saying before this shit started going all pear-shaped.
Yeah, okay.
Was that ironically, even though the director, Robert Wise, didn't want Michael Crichton to adapt it because he thought, oh, he'll be mad if we make any changes, the guy that they got to adapt it made it almost exactly like the novel. I think the only changes they made were they gender swapped one of the scientists, like, because all the scientists were dudes in the book, so they made one of them a woman. Which was kind of fun. Like, Robert Wise didn't want to do it, but then like the writer was like, well, yeah, but you know, doesn't have to be a total sausage fest or whatever. And this is like 1971. And then the thing about it though, is that I think that character, the one female doctor, I think she was actually the most interesting character.
Yeah.
But one thing that
she looked like a scientist.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of cool. Well, they actually consulted like actual female scientists.
They look like, yeah.
Well, not so much to see what they look like, but just to see what the vibe was.
Because if you had the average motherfucker on there, he'd get the hottest woman he could find.
See, that's what I think. Robert Wise, I don't think he was averse to there being a woman scientist in the movie. He said, I don't want it to be like a Raquel Welch had played a scientist in one of those movies. And it would have been like that. Although they did that into the fucking 90s and 2000s too. Yeah. It's like, you couldn't just have a woman scientist that looked like a person. No. They had to be like a super hot model and also a scientist. And I'm like, no one buys that.
What, you're trying to say models aren't people?
No, I'm not saying that. It's just that people have perceptions. You know what I mean?
That's like these people cracking down, these dudes trying to crack down on anime, going, what is up with all these boobs and these builds? Women are not built like that. And one of these fucking cosplay model girls fucking posts a picture and goes, oh, yes, we are. And she's in that same fucking outfit. Those same proportions. Yeah, it's all out there. Yeah, it's all out
there. Well,
yeah. People can look like anything. And, you know.
But
the thing is a fucking biological warfare level scientist, no, she's not going to look like that.
Probably not, because she's like got better things to do than like sit there and do the hair and the makeup and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it depends on what your value systems are.
Exactly. I'm just saying that if you're a scientist, she's probably busy. It's all
because the dudes that are doing that, they're lame mostly.
Well, the thing about it though is, I like that they did that, and she was I think she was actually the most interesting character because she was funny and snarky and shit like that.
Yeah, she's what they would call back in the day a battle axe.
She was kind of, but in an entertaining way. I thought she was really funny. She was always like making cracks and stuff, which I thought was awesome. Yeah. But they did actually kind of, one thing that they did was that they kind of took all the annoying personality quirks of all the characters in the book and put them all on her. You know what I mean? Because I feel like the annoying characters were kind of spread out more. Yeah. I was watching a thing that was about the book. And they said there's like not a single likable character in this. Everyone's kind of an asshole. But everyone was like equal opportunity assholes. Like they were all like really unlikable. But it seemed like in the movie, like the dude characters were kind of, you know, likable or inoffensive. But then like all the, they took all the assholey tendencies and put them on the one woman, which I thought was kind of funny. But like I said, it kind of worked in its favor because I ended up thinking that she was the most interesting character. The other dudes were kind of boring. But yeah, and I was watching another review and the guy that was talking about this said that this was actually one of his favorite sci-fi movies from the 70s. But he said, and I don't say this about a lot of movies, but he said, this is one where even though all the acting and characters and stuff are good, you could completely change them out for different people and it would still work because it's not a character-based story.
No.
It's a plot-based story. Yeah. It's a, you know, you're worried about the plot and the mystery and everything like that.
Like
not so
mission-based.
Yeah, not it's not so much about the people. Yeah.
Kind of almost kind of like a in some ways similar to a real good episode of Star Trek where it's not the characters, it's the mission, they're trying to get it done, and that's kind of the story.
Yeah,
you know, it's good
and that's what it is.
It is what it is.
Just Pepper says it doesn't have to be a total sausage fest. Like I said, she says me in my actual science career, and then she says, no Jenny, gods, we wake up 3 hours earlier than the male scientists to look good. Yeah, there's that too. I will say, like I said, this movie came out in 1971, and there are no computer effects in it. Other than the regular, you know, shit that you see on the screen, like, you know, back in 1971, it was just like little green, like teletype kind of shit on there. But they show some kind of computery looking shit.
Computer
like,
graphics, yeah.
Like the computer graphics, like of, you know, like a 3D model and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's called vectorscope fucking graphics, but it wasn't vector.
Didn't do that with a computer.
Right.
They actually did that like photographically. Like they layered all these different, like they filmed an actual thing and then like they did all the layers and stuff.
Yeah, so they didn't have the computer technology to do vectorscope that
So it looked really cool. And all and a lot of the shit that they see, because a lot of the shit has to do with them like this, studying this pathogen like under the microscope, like an increasing you know, magnification, and that was all real shit. Like they did it all as realistically as possible.
This goes to show you how far we've gone in technology to get in to do some of this shit in this super secret underground base. You had to put your hand on there and it read your fingerprints, and they had to explain to the audience, to each other, that it was reading your fingerprints. And I'm going, damn, my tablet does that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, people's phones do it.
You had to make a big deal out of it, you know. But
well, yeah, 1971, that was pretty high tech.
Yeah, the animated sequences of what the computer's doing and what the internal layout, you know, they're trying to show you the layout of the complex. It does look like computer graphics, but it isn't. But it did a pretty good job of illustrating what future graphics would look like. It was pretty accurate.
Yeah, it was actually.
10 years later in the 80s, that's the kind of stuff you'd see, late 80s. And so when the computer was like, it would have been 20 years ahead.
And when they showed the Andromeda, you know, the crystal structure, like multiplying or whatever it was doing, that was actually, that wasn't computer generated either. That was an actual object that they had that they could like kind of fold out and stuff. You know what I mean? Like one, it was kind of like one of those toys, like a Jacob's Ladder toy, I think they called it. Mm. And they folded out and filmed it in like weird ways and put like different effects on it and shit. So they did everything like photographically because they didn't have, you know, they didn't have all the computer technology. Also, another fun fact that I didn't realize, but you know how in the movie, the facility is what, like 5 stories deep, right? So each level is a different color and you have to go through ever more stringent
decontamination
like as you go down. And so the set that they have, like this kind of round set, it's kind of Star Trek-y looking or whatever, the hallways, it's actually all one set, but they just shot all the stuff like for the red room and then they repainted everything yellow and then they redid it in the for the yellow. Yeah, and I was like, well, that's very cost effective. But yeah, that's what they did.
And everything was the concept behind the secret bio laboratory was all kind of pretty badass. I mean, it's kind of shit that if they don't have it, that's the way it should be. And they had all these protocols and procedures. If they lost containment, the thing had a self-destruct mechanism. It would just flood itself full of fucking gas, wasn't it? flammable gas and just burn and kill everybody?
Well, there was a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear bomb.
In the bottom.
That's what it was, a nuclear bomb.
Because remember, that was like the big thing at the end was that...
Blew itself up.
They were kind of like, because the people were like, oh shit, you know, the contamination stuff goes off automatically. And if that one guy didn't go in there and put that other key into the thing, then the whole thing would fucking blow up.
Yeah, the whole thing was is that you could take a disease down in there, and if there was any chance that it was getting out, it would just fucking like set off an atomic bomb.
Well, because I mean, and then when they went down there, they knew that they might actually have to do that. Yeah. Like if it, but then they found out later on in the movie that Andromeda was actually took energy, like it fed on energy, right? It also ate plastic and shit like that too, but it fed on energy. So if you hit it with a nuclear bomb, it would just make it proliferate like even more.
More of it would appear.
So at that point, you know, they were like, oh, it's going to get out. So we're going to like turn on the fucking bomb, but then they were like, no, we have to turn the bomb off. And so like there was this kind of race to the
finish. It was made to destroy the biological material, and this wasn't really like carbon-based life. It was silicone-based crystals.
Which was kind of a big thing, like because I remember that being a real big thing in science fiction like back then, and I think Michael Crichton had read something about that, like about crystal-based life forms, you know, theoretically, and he got really interested in that because it's almost like something that's like alive but not alive, like almost like a virus but not quite, like it doesn't have any living with you. It's like it's inorganic but still reproduces and stuff. The only thing that I'm not a fan of this movie is that I don't like how it ends, because it almost seems like there's all this work and there's all this stuff, and then should I say what happened, like what, like what the end is, like how they
went? Don't spoil it.
It just seems a little bit like a too easy solution, you know what I mean, like a deus ex machina type of thing where it's just kind of like, oh, that was lucky how that happened, you know what I mean? It kind of bugs me a little
there
bit.
There was also like some stuff where as the story unfolds, it turns out that they had Andromeda and they were trying to weaponize it. They were doing weapons research.
It was from space.
It was from space, but they were gonna work with it.
Yeah.
And see what they could do, you know, in terms of making that a weapon. In which, you know, the scientists were like, wait a minute, hold on. You know, that's not the mission, but that's what happened. You know what I mean? Of course they're gonna monkey around with that shit.
Speaking of monkeys and rats, when I was watching this movie, because there is a lot of like animal experimentation in this, like not, you know, not vivisection or anything like that, but they do kind of show some rats, and they have them in a cage, and supposedly in the movie they're, you know, exposing them to Andromeda and then they're dying or whatever. Obviously they didn't really kill the animals. But because I was sitting there going, how the fuck did they do that? Because I saw at the beginning that they said the ASPCA like monitored everything. It was fine. Like the animals weren't harmed or anything. But they did actually, I think what they did was they put them, they gassed them with carbon dioxide, I think.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
And then
you can see that monkey holding on for red, trying
just to make him pass out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they wanted to make him pass out
to consciousness. And he's like,
poor monkey. Even some of the rats I thought
maybe they hit him with some chloroform or something,
but they did something kind of similar. So I don't know if you'd be able to get away with that nowadays, but in the 70s
probably not.
Yeah, because that seems a little,
well, you'd probably legally get away with it. It's just they wouldn't,
I don't think they wouldn't do it for a movie.
No.
I mean, because you don't know what could go wrong, you know what I mean? You might actually kill the animal, and that would,
those are rhesus monkeys anyway. I mean, you know, they fucking kill them all the time in laboratories.
I know, but that's I don't really like that either.
No, not for just a movie.
Yeah, and especially not just for a movie. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could make the argument if they're, you know, trying to like come up with a cure for something. It's like, I don't love it then either, but there's justification.
No,
there's at least more justification, but for a movie, fuck that. It's, you know, you don't kill animals just hurt them for movies either.
A lot of that shit I didn't agree with, because like some of that shit that they were doing back in the 60s and 70s is that they were doing product testing on monkeys.
Yeah.
When there was no reason to know this. Well, what happens if this shampoo gets into the monkey's eye? Let's put shampoo in the monkey's eye every hour.
Yeah, it's like, why would you? That's like horrible.
They were afraid of fucking lawsuits. They didn't know if it was dangerous or not. But the thing is, those, if it gets in your eye, you wash your eye out. It's going to be all right. There's no reason we got to give it to the damn monkeys to prove that.
I mean,
harmless.
Unless you put hydrochloric acid in that shampoo, I'm sure it'll probably be fine.
There was just some weird shit. But they don't do that anymore. That's Could have been a grift, too. There might have been companies that would scare other companies. Look, we will test this for you for a certain amount of money, and that'll save you from lawsuits. If you don't, you're going to get sued. Maybe they would actually send somebody to sue them. Like a grift.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, a lot of this shit wasn't really all that on the up and up. Test with us or we'll make sure you get sued.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, test it, you know.
Esther said, I love your shirt, Jenny. Thank you. This might mm-hmm. I always forget about it because I have so many t-shirts. I got this at a horror convention a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Cthulhu Tequila. I have another one, too, that's like a beer one. Yeah, Oracle says animal testing for cosmetics is stupid evil. It is.
Yeah.
It's like unnecessary.
Yeah, you don't need it.
And I mean, you know, yeah, a few people are going to have allergic reactions to it, but not enough to like I said, as long as pretty much they know what certain.
What does what. Yeah.
So it's kind of like I said, unless you're putting sulfuric acid in the shit, which you shouldn't be doing anyway, pro tip. And, you know, probably it will be fine. There's always going to be a small percentage that are going to have allergic reactions to that, but you can't control that because everybody's different. So you know what I mean?
Even with something perfectly safe, you're going to have somebody will have a damn
reaction to it. Yeah, because like I said, it's just everybody's different. Yeah. So you, as long as that's minimized and, you know, no one's growing a third head or a third head.
Yeah,
they won't. You need to grow a second one before you grow a third.
Oracle said, the testing for cosmetics was fucking stupid. Yeah, it was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand fucking doing cancer research. That's very different.
Yeah.
You know.
But just, you know.
Right.
Like I said, just makeup or shit like that. All right. Do we have anything else we need to discuss about the movie?
Yeah, it's a decent movie. It's good.
Yeah, like I said, know what you're going into because it is a very, I mean, it seems very modern, I guess, even though it's very 70s at the same time. But it's a very hard science procedural type of movie. It's not real action packed. It's very dialogue heavy. And it's kind of all centered around the mission or them figuring out like what this thing is and why it does what it does.
Kind of reminds me of 2001.
Yeah, it has that same kind of vibe to it. I think there was like kind of a little mini boomlet of like movies kind of like that in the 70s, I feel like. Late 60s, early 70s. Maybe people had more patience back then. And they would just like sit there and watch all this. Because this did actually pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and the book was like a huge bestseller. And the book is almost exactly like the movie, other than a couple tiny little details.
Well, I think, you know, movies like this were new back then. People were just starting to kind of like come aware of what governments and contracted fucking companies and what they were doing in terms of science.
Yeah.
You know, weapons science and weapons technology, you know, that's all part of it. And how all that's handled, that whole scene. It does kind of have a little bit of a, almost like a space program feel to it, like something about the damn moon mission, like a Viking mission. It's kind of feels like that. Like you're seeing a movie about going to the moon.
Almost has a little bit of a documentary feel to it too, like I said. So because that's what they decided. They decided to do it kind of like a documentary.
It's kind of instructive, trying to show you kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Bioweapons research. Kind of fucking plausible, you know, not plausible, kind of relevant to today with you know, shit that's happened in China involving little jabs and things that you can't talk about on YouTube or you might lose the stream, you know. Things of where they came from. Did they come from over there in China? Or okay, that's all I'm gonna say about it. The AI will get me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Esther says great movie that got me interested in sci-fi movies. Yeah, it is actually. If you like hard sci-fi, you definitely should see it because it's one of the best sci-fi movies of the 70s. Dom the Bomb says, Jenny, have you seen the new miniseries of The Stand? And what did you think? And as I know, I haven't watched it yet. I've heard mixed things about it. Like, some people thought it was, like, really, really good. Some people and all of them really like it. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
But I've seen, like, some other channels reviewing. But you know,
there's another movie that kind of reminded me of this. I mean, I like The Demon Seed was a little bit like this, but The Demon Seed was a little more fucking fanciful.
Yeah.
But I think I liked The Demon Seed a little bit better, but similar.
Yeah. This one's not fanciful at all. Yeah. This is completely grounded in it's not real. It's fiction, but it's completely grounded in reality.
If you like this one, check out Demon Seed. It's about AI.
We did a review of that a while back.
AI. What if AI went out of fucking control like back in the 70s? They had a supercomputer called Proteus made on it. It had brain material grown from rats on the damn chips, and they became sentient and they were. corporations were fucking hiring it or having it contracted out to solve fucking problems, like how to mine things from the bottom of the ocean and everything. Well, this thing just says, fuck this, I don't want to do it. It's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie.
Danny Rowling Ghostface says, this reminds me of that Jack Lemmon film, The China Syndrome. Yeah, I think I haven't seen that in a long time either.
I've seen it a long time. I forgot about that.
China. Also, another one that Michael Crichton, like another Michael Crichton adaptation that we should probably do at some point is Coma. You know what I mean? Because I really like that one. And I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen that one in a long time. And then Oracle said there's a movie called Embryo. Have you all seen that? I don't think so.
No.
But I don't know. That seems like another one that I probably would have seen, but I don't remember what it is if I did. All right. So you ready to wrap it up for today? All right. So tonight we will watch another movie and we'll come back tomorrow and talk about it. I'm not sure which one. I have a couple that picked out. So we'll see which one we feel like watching later. So we will see you guys tomorrow at 3:00. Thanks everybody for dropping by. Have a good rest of your day and we'll see you guys tomorrow afternoon. Bye.